So I was walking around the base measures this morning, schmoozing with some of you and asking, so new, you're going to make sure to be Mevatel Torah tonight? And you looked at me like I had three heads. So I figured it would be a good opportunity to maybe talk about the minhag of Nitelnacht, where it comes from and what the idea is. Many Jews have a minhag, mostly Hasidic Jews have a minhag not to learn Torah on the night preceding December 25th, the evening of December 24th. Now, that minhag has been around in certain circles for many centuries, but the actual records of where it comes from, of what its origins are, and what the details are somewhat sketchy. Obviously, it relates somewhat to the Christian holiday that is being observed tonight and tomorrow. And obviously, or maybe not as obviously, but a good reason why a lot of the records of what the basis of this minhag is are not really available to us is that many svarim that were printed for a very long period of time were subject to censorship by Christian censors. So anything that reflected negatively on their religion wasn't going to make it past the censors. So it's very likely that that's why we don't have all that much information on what this is all about. So before we even get to what the basis of the minhag is, what does the word mean, nittel? What's the etymology of the word nittel? So it happens to be, it's used by Rishonim already, Rabbeinu Yonah and Avodah Zarah Dav Beis, Tos Rabbeinu Elchanan and Avodah Zarah Dav Beis, the Sefer HaTruma, Os Kuf Lama Dalin, and many, many other Rishonim use the term nittel. The only thing is, some Rishonim spell it Nun Yud Tes Lamed, some spell it Nun Yud Taf Lamed. And what does that tell you? It tells you that already the etymology of the word and where it comes from was confused already in the times of the Rishonim. Now we're not really sure what this word means and where it really comes from. In the Sefer Nitei Gavriel and in the Sefer Moadim L'Simcha, they have long contrasim on the topic of nittel and all the details and all the various minhagim. So all the information I have is from those two svarim. So they quote from the Bnei Yisaschar. The Bnei Yisaschar in the Sefer Regel Yeshara Os Yud writes that because Yeshu was taken, he was nuttel from the world on this day. So that's why it's called nittel. The only thing is, I don't think he was nuttel on this day, right? Wasn't he born on this day? So I'm not sure. I don't know how that. And even that, he wasn't really, right? That's also a confusion of the calendar. But okay, but that's one possibility. Another possibility, the modern L'Simcha suggests that because Yeshu was hung, so nittel not with a test, nittel with a tuff, as in nitle, as in someone who was hanged, not hung, someone who was hanged. So we refer to him by the name as nitle, one who was hanged. The modern L'Simcha quotes from the Sefer Nitzachon that nittel is based on it's not the Hebrew word of taken, nor the Hebrew word of hanged. It's based on a Latin word for birthday, and since it's the birthday of Yeshu, so that's why we refer to it as the birthday. Whatever the source of that terminology is, that is what the Svarim refer to this day by. Now, why do we have this? Why do some have this minhag not to learn? It's called ki'ilu, we're observing a Christian holiday, God forbid. Sounds like a very, very terrible thing. So there are a lot of Kabbalistic suggestions that I have no real Havana of, so I can't really express to you. But if you look around the Hasidic Sfarim, you find a lot of Kabbalistic ideas. The Shem Yishmuel talks about it in his Drush to Chanukah, a lot of other Nitei Gavriel quotes from a lot of other Hasidish sources that quote Kabbalistic ideas, but I'm going to give you the ideas that I was able to wrap my mind around, that I was able to begin to understand a little bit. The Tameyam and Hagim quotes from Sefer Likutei Apardes that in earlier generations, Jews who were found in the streets on this night would be beaten, and any Jewish home that had a candle in it, that had a candle lit in it, would start a pogrom. So it was a pretty big deal, and therefore Jews had no choice. They couldn't go out, they couldn't stay home and learn because they couldn't light candles. You remember when we didn't have electricity for those couple of weeks, if you couldn't light candles or flashlights, it got really dark really early, and there was really nothing to do. I know in my house, my kids went to sleep at like 7 o'clock every night for 2 weeks straight because of the blackout. There was just nothing to do. There was nothing, it was just dark. So Jews had nothing to do, so they went to sleep. So they didn't learn Torah on that night because of the great sakana that this night was for the Jewish people. A lot of times, people don't realize just how badly Christians have treated Jews over the years. You know, we look at it from a modern perspective where we think of Islam as the big threat to the Jewish people, and the Christians, those are our co-workers, those are our neighbors, those are the people who have all these Western ideals of tolerance and understanding. It was certainly not always that way in Jewish history. In fact, for the large majority of the time, it was the Christians who were extremely, extremely anti-Semitic and violently anti-Semitic, and the Muslims were actually much, much nicer to us. you know, ebbs and flows, I guess. And you know, Esav son of Yaakov, one way or another, we're always bearing the brunt of something. But it was often the Christians, you know, just in terms of I mentioned to my shir this morning, just in terms of from a halachic perspective, in terms of which religion is the worst, you know, the worst of the two, in terms of what a guy is allowed to believe. The Rambam paskins that Christianity is avodah zara. The Rambam paskins that Islam is not avodah zara. So someone I heard on the shir from Rav Yamer from Shalavim, I couldn't believe this. I was totally blown away by this. Rav Yamer said that he heard from Rav Nevin Sal Shlita that not only is it usher to go into a church and mutter to go into a mosque, but that a mosque has a din of a beis haknesses, that you're not allowed to eat or drink in a mosque because it's a place where people who are chayiv to daven, goyim have to daven also, like Moshe writes in the tshuva, they go and they daven to Hashem, they believe in one God and they daven to Hashem, so that you have to treat it as a makom tefillah. I thought that was wild. I never heard such an idea before. But anyway, the first possibility is Jews simply had nothing to do because we can get beaten if we try to move. So this night, the minhag developed that we don't learn. The Kabbar Nesanel, Nitei Gavriel quotes a manuscript, Ksav Yad of the Kabbar Nesanel. He explains that the minhag not to learn on this night is a form of avelus, that the birth, the very birth that the Christians are celebrating, was the source of so much trouble, like we just mentioned, for the Jewish people over the years, over the centuries, and therefore we separated, we compared this day to Chorban Beis Elokeinu, to the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, like Tisha B'Av, and just like you don't learn on Tisha B'Av, so you don't learn on this day either, because it's a terrible day of avelus. The Chassam Sofer quotes this reason b'shem his Rebbe, b'shem Rav Nasan Adler, but the Chassam Sofer himself in Kovish Tshuva, Simin Lamed Aleph, rejects that idea for a couple of reasons. First of all, he says, if it was really a day of avelus, the minhag should not be to differentiate between the first half of the night and the second half of the night. But apparently the minhag is not to learn only up until midnight, and then after midnight to stay up learning the whole rest of the night. So how would that minhag develop if after midnight is when it gets really serious as a non-Jewish holiday? So why would it, as a Christian holiday, so why would we dafka start learning then if it was really avelus? Also, he says, if it was avelus, then dvarim aroyim are mutter to learn for an avel. Mutter to learn in Tishbav, you're allowed to learn hilchas avelus, you're allowed to learn gadot about the churban. We don't have any such thing in terms of this minhag. This minhag seems to be that nobody learns anything. So the Chassam Sofer suggests that maybe it was because there was always midnight mass that Christians would go to attend services at midnight. And he said that the leaders of the Jewish community were in a tough position, because on the one hand it's a terrible kitrug on Klal Yisrael when there's tremendous religious fervor being expressed in other religions and Jews are just sleeping and not reaching out to the Ribbono Shel. So it's a bad kitrug on Klal Yisrael. Up in Shemayim there's going to be a kitrug. Look what they're doing to worship their gods, to observe their religion, and where are the Jewish people at this time? So the Chachamim at some point wanted to say, okay, we should wake up at midnight and dafka go learn and midnight of this night. But the problem is, if you say that, then it's going to look like that it's chukas akum, that we dafka have a minhag to learn Torah, to wake up to learn Torah on this night. Makes it look like we're following their practices, that they're going to mass and we're going to the Beis Medrash, lahavdil. So it looks terrible. So they decided to work around to achieve the result of getting people learning through the second half of the night when they are at their midnight mass. They decided to be manhig that people should not people should not learn the first half of the night. So what do you mean? So how does that help? Because if you're not learning the first half of the night, a Jew's not going to go the whole night without learning. Normally you'd learn the whole first half of the night, you'd sleep the second half of the night. You're not going to go the whole night without learning. But if you can't learn the first half of the night, so what are you going to do? You'll sleep the first half of the night, you'll wake up at midnight, and then you go learn. We don't have to make a takana that you're going to learn the second half of the night. That would look like chukasakum. But if you make a takana not to learn the first half of the night, mimela you learn the second half of the night. So that's what the Chassam Sofer suggests. That must be the source of this minute. And the final source, Kedusha Tzion, points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Kuf Zayin says that Yeshu was a student of Rabbi Shubham Prachya, and in spite of his considerable accomplishments in learning, he managed to become who he became, and look at all the trouble he caused. And he is the epitome of the concept that Lo Amedrishua Iker Ela Amaisa, that learning alone is not going to do it for you if you're not going to be committed to religious observance, you're not going to be committed to a life of Avodas Hashem. So in order to demonstrate how this person was the example of Lo HaMedrash Hu HaIkar, we show that learning isn't isn't enough by being knowing not to learn Dafka on this night. Maybe it sends the wrong message. I don't know. It makes it sound like learning isn't important. Learning is the most important, but it's also, but only if one is the Lulmal Amanas Lasso, someone's learning in order to do and to be productive. They say that, Rabbi Bolson just told me this morning, that they say that in the Chassam Sofer in Pressburg, I guess, in the Chassam Sofer's yeshiva, that they used to cut the Shabbos toilet paper all night for the whole year. And they had to, when else are you going to do it? So that's what they would do in Italy. I don't know. I think the Minhag Chassidim play Sheshbesh. They play backgammon or something all night. I don't know. So there are objections, obviously strenuous objections to this Minhag. Because anytime you have Minhag not to learn Torah, that's scandalous. Minhag not to learn Torah. So Sephardim obviously never had this Minhag because they lived in Muslim countries. They didn't have to deal with this. It was not a special day for them at all. In Eretz Yisrael also, the Minhag never developed. The Talmidim of the Gra who moved to Eretz Yisrael were not Noheg this idea of Nitl Nach. So in Sefer Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that Chazon Ish would learn on Nitl, and he thought that it was terrible that people would not learn this night. It was a terrible Bittul Torah. Not a surprise that Chazon Ish was against not learning. He was in favor of Torah for the most part. And he said that, if the whatever the minhag was, it was based on a fear of the Christians. Why in the world are you going to be afraid of that in Eretz Yisrael? Even in America, we don't have to be fearful of those things, thank God. And we should take every opportunity we can to learn. In Orchus Rabbeinu Chelik Alfos Kuf Tzadi Gimel, says that the stipler would learn a nittel, but he felt he didn't want to, like a loig l'rush, make the people who were knowing not to learn feel bad, so he learned bal peh. He wouldn't do it in such an obvious way by keeping a sefer open. Okay, for those who could do that, that's a very nice thing, to learn bal peh in general. Many Jews throughout the generations have observed this night. However, the exact night on which people observe it, like I mentioned before, is really based on a real understanding of the calendar, which requires a little more analysis, but it's very likely that tonight is not the birthday of tomorrow is not the birthday of Yeshu, that we're actually a little ways off from that. And therefore, minhagim developed in different places when not to learn. Some people are machmir; they don't learn at all, ever. So the idea is that whatever the minhag was, it's whatever it may be based on, it should be a source of pain not to learn. Rabbi Kohn was just talking about the idea of how we show how we love Torah, and if a person is gonna be excited, I don't have to learn. Well, then the whole point of the minhag is a waste. It's supposed to be painful to us not to learn. It's always one of my favorite halachos, is that an avel is not allowed to learn. Why is an avel not allowed to learn? That on Tisha B'Av we're not allowed to learn because we can't be so happy, and that's what makes us so happy. It's learning Torah that makes us so happy. So Mirtz Hashem, we should get to that point, or we should be at that point where learning Torah is what gives us our true Simchas HaChaim, gives us our Simcha in life, and then maybe you could discuss, if you have Hasidish blood, whether it's worthwhile to observe this minhag or not. But the Aleph phase is just to get to that point where Torah gives us our true Simcha in life.